following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Back in April, we embarked on a journey together. We wanted to know exactly what it meant to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We set out, been over 13 weeks ago on this path of discipleship that we're on. We're about to wrap things up next week, and I hope that you have gained a lot of good knowledge from this. I hope that your quiet time has improved. And as always, I'm going to ask you this question. You're going to hear it again through next week. How is your quiet time right now? How is your time every day that you spend in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to God the Father, letting Him talk to you, and letting Him speak into your life and directing you down this path of discipleship that we are. We learned that this path of discipleship is not an easy one. Jesus started off by saying that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and then take up his cross daily and follow after me. And then when you start taking those steps, what are some ways that you can gauge your spiritual maturity? Am I improving? Am I better now than I was 13 or 14 weeks ago when we embarked on this journey together? Has my strength grown? Has my fellowship and my quiet time matured? Are they deeper? Are they richer? Well, we just kind of look to see, you know, is there some ways that we can look at someone and say, yes, they are maturing in their faith. They are growing. You can look at a little baby and watch them over the years. It doesn't happen overnight, but they'll begin walking and talking, feeding themselves. They'll get into the teenage years. They'll start growing a little peach fuzz around their chin and their mustache, and then soon they'll have a full-grown beard and start shaving. There's just different ways we can see externally when a person is growing and maturing, but how do you see inside a person's heart? Are they growing closer to the Lord? Do they begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ? I think the way that they act and react to certain situations is a good indication that they are growing and maturing as a follower. But what are some ways that we can definitely tell on our own and examine our life that we can gauge whether or not we're growing in our maturity? So the book that we're going through is written by Donald Whitney. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Many of you have gotten a copy of this. I've been backwards and frontwards through it multiple times. I've gained some insights from it, some things that I missed the first time. And I could tell by looking through that, some of the notes that I wrote on the side and in the margins, where I was at back then and where I am now are just polar opposites. We're going to talk today about journaling, writing down as you embark on this journey. Maybe you have already started that. Maybe you're someone who keeps a diary or a track record of what you do every day. I've learned that getting into better physical fitness and shape, kind of journaling what I do and keeping track of where I go, where I've been, how many calories I consume, how many calories I burn, is all a very, very important part of that. Having an in-house personal fitness trainer where I am kind of benefits me because he'll point out some things that I could do differently, some things that I should avoid. But basically what I need to do is a way to keep track of it. And so one of the things that I've learned along the way is that as you continue to move along in physical fitness, one of the best things that you could do is drink as much water as you can possibly drink. I've been told that I should be drinking at least a gallon of water a day. I did that a couple of times and I felt like I was about to drown. But one of the first things I said was, you know, I drink water in different places. You know, I'll go to a restaurant, I'll go home, I'll grab a bottle of water and chug it down. But, you know, how can I definitely gauge how much water I'm consuming in a day's time? So I kind of took a jug and I gave myself an indication of where I should be at throughout the day to encourage myself and to kind of keep track of how much water I'm consuming. Start off with that big morning cup of water. Man, I encourage myself, hey, good work. You're on the right track. We get to the midway point. We're halfway there. And you can't say that without singing it. Oh, we're halfway there. And then when you get down to this point, you say, man, I just can't take anymore. I'm not going to be able to drink anymore. So I know that drinking water has many benefits. It keeps your body properly hydrated, your joints and your ligaments, they're properly lubricated. Ladies, your face is fuller and more supple and a lot smoother in your skin if you're looking for that. But I know that physical fitness, you got to keep track of where you're at, and you can see the progress over a period of time. One of the most frustrating things for me, though, is keeping track of calories. I know that whenever I go to a restaurant, most of the menus today have exactly how many calories that entree is going to have. Man, it's nothing to sit down in about 20 or 30 minutes. You can consume anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 calories depending on what you order and what you eat. However, if I were to work out for that same 30 minutes, that's what's frustrating to me. The intake, 1,500 to 2,000 calories in 30 minutes, but the outgoing, man, working out for 30 minutes, that's only about 150 or 200 calories. And I'm like, oh, man, really? I'm wringing wet with sweat. I feel like I've been through a furnace, and I've only burnt 200 calories. That just don't add up. That's frustrating to me. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, our strength, our spirit, our inner person should be maturing. We should be working out. Journaling is a way to keep track of that. Each and every day, writing down something that the Lord has revealed to you. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the benefits of journaling. Write it down. Write down what's going on in your life. Tracking your personal progress as you continue to move forward on this path of discipleship. Maybe you have already started a journal. Maybe you've already started some way of tracking it down. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do that, because when you get 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, and you look at when you started doing that and the things that you went through and the Lord, what the Lord revealed to you, you're going to be blessed by seeing what you recorded in those early years. So the Apostle Peter writes a letter to early Christians who are being persecuted. We're in the book of 2 Peter. We'll be reading out of chapter 3. But let me just read to you a little bit before we get started. He talks about growth in the faith early on in this second epistle. Chapter 1, he said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all his old sins." If anyone knew something about following the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the Apostle Peter. He had his fair shares of failures. He had his fair shares of victories. And now he has written down some of that in these epistles to the early church, the early first century church and the believers. And he's trying to encourage them to continue on and to mature and to grow in the faith. Let's all stand as we read from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. This is not necessarily going to be an expository sermon. I'm not going to march right through this. We're going to use this as a springboard to get started on what it means to grow as a Christian and how it can record those areas in which we're growing in. Peter says this. He says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." That's the whole goal of Christian discipleship right there, is to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." I find it kind of unique that the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul didn't always see eye to eye. But as Peter is writing here, he's encouraging, listen to what Paul said as well. "Paul and I agree on these things, and here's some areas that you can focus on that we've both written to you about." He said, "Also in his epistles, he wrote this, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fail from your own steadfastness. I think that's the mark of a disciple, is they're alert to what's going on. They understand who the false teachers are, and they know where to get good, sound doctrine from. He says, being led away with the error of the wicked. Here's the key right here. Here's the verse that I want you to remember, and I want you to underline this or highlight it in verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So here's the question on the floor. Does a Christian ever cease to mature? No, they're always maturing until the day they draw their dying breath. We should be striving each and every day, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how new you are to the faith, there's something always to learn about becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for these words that your apostle Peter has written to us and recorded to us. God, how encouraging it is that we have the whole counsel of God, journals that people have written about their life experiences, letters that they've written to other people to encourage them. And I just pray that today, Lord God, that we'll find encouragement in what we hear and that we'll learn, Lord God, how our life, as it is written down on paper with ink or pencil, wherever it's recorded at, Lord God, may in fact one of these days encourage someone that we don't know and that we may never meet. I just thank you for your words, Lord God. I pray that they would leap off the pages and into our hearts. And I pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day you would open their eyes, you'd set them free, and they'd step out in faith and trust you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So there are four specific points that I want to teach you this morning about journaling. I want to encourage you to begin now. Take some time, take some preparation, find a notebook, a notepad, whatever you want to keep it in, and begin recording what God has revealed to you each and every day. Maybe start off writing a heading, what the day is, the date, the year, what time you did this quiet time, maybe a particular scripture or passage that you read through. Maybe there's one area that the Lord has pointed out to you in your life, and record those things down. All of the victories, all the answered prayers, all the people that you're praying for, try to find somewhere that you can keep all of that in a notebook and in a logbook and journal down what God is doing as you track your own personal progress on this path of discipleship. One of the first benefits that comes from journaling is this, point number one. Journaling helps remind us of God's faithfulness. If you're like me, your forgetter works really good. Sometimes God blesses us. Sometimes we know it's something significant. But 2 or 3 weeks down the road, we'll say, you know, I just don't remember what happened at that time. We forget real, real easy. And if we don't write it down, it's hard for us to reflect on that time and what was going on during that time. God is so faithful to us. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to walk with us down this path of discipleship. And when we begin journaling those blessings, those things that God is revealing to us, we can go back and see his faithfulness through all of those years. Francis Bacon had this about journaling. He said this about writing things down. He said, if a man write little, he had need of a great memory. My memory is failing. I don't remember everything that I should. Sometimes I say things and I forget about them a couple of days later. But writing down the blessings that God has bestowed upon our lives allows us to go back and look at those weeks, months, and years later and just reminds us about how faithful God was during certain times of our life. When you begin journaling, you are creating a record of God's faithfulness, not only for yourself, but possibly for future generations as well. So let me ask you this question. The story of your conversion. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God, the day, the location, the person that led you to the Lord, is all of that written down somewhere? Is that recorded somewhere where you can go back and look at that date? But more importantly, Is it written down where someone, maybe years from now, maybe your children, your grandchildren, their children, maybe a niece or a nephew or somebody can run across or stumble through that journal and look at the story of your conversion. Maybe they're struggling with something that you don't know about yet. Maybe they're going through a challenging time. Maybe they're doubting God's existence. Your words in your handwriting, telling the story of how God saved your soul and set you free, may just be what they need to see and hear to point them in that direction. You may not be there to tell them about Jesus, but a journal of your life very well could tell the story of what God did in your life and bring them to a point of salvation as well. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 102, verse 18. He said, "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Isn't that awesome? The psalmist was already thinking into the future about what he could do to impact generations that he may never meet. He said, "All of these things that God has done in my life, I've written it down, not for the purpose of bragging about what you've done in my life, not for the purpose of boasting about who I am and how I've been blessed, but I've written it down for the purpose that someone down the road may read it and receive a blessing from it, and they may praise you, and they may experience your goodness and your mercy and your grace." God is so faithful, and he is so deserving of us writing down all the blessing that he has poured out upon our life. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Sing it with me. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you start writing down those blessings, when you start recording times in your life when God has been faithful to show up in a time that you consider to be your darkest hour, how much encouragement does that give you? And when you write it down, you're leaving that encouragement. You're leaving that record of God's faithfulness in your life for someone else somewhere to read. Your memoirs might not be worth millions of dollars, but I tell you what, at some point in time, somebody could pick it up, and it could be the most priceless thing that they've ever written. It could be worth more than anything else that they've ever seen and experienced in their life. Point number two, here's another benefit of journaling. Journaling reveals area in which we struggle. Journaling reveals areas in which we struggle. Peter points out in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3, "For the early believers to beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness." There are times when we'll be down in a slump. The path of discipleship is not an easy one. You're going to experience some setbacks along the way. You're going to experience some struggles. But when you start recording and start journaling everything that you go through, you can look back and see those areas, and you can find ways to avoid certain situations that lead to struggling times. Looking back in a journal can easily point to maybe a certain time of the year, in which you stumbled a little bit. It could point to some of the more difficult times that you've been through. It can point to one of those spiritual disciplines that you struggle to attain the most. Perhaps maybe you've been through a family situation and you've recorded that. Perhaps you've suffered the loss of a loved one. You've recorded that. Perhaps there's a job situation that had you down for a season. You can look back through that journal and you can say, okay, I know this is coming up. Here's what God did to get me through that time, and now I know how to better prepare myself to get me through this struggle. We all have seasons in life that will become more difficult than other times when it comes to walking with the Lord. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're in one of those seasons. Can I encourage you with this? When you get home, just write it down. I mean, when you get home, just take a pen, a piece of paper, a notebook somewhere, and whatever's going on in your life, whatever's burdening you, pour it out. Pour out your heart on a piece of paper and just write down everything that is going through your heart and through your mind. And say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with right now. And I put it down to see when I come out of this situation, I can reflect back on it years from now and just see how faithful you were to help me through this time when I was struggling. And here's the thing. If you don't write it down, most likely you'll regret because you won't be able to remember exactly what God showed you during that time. You'll think later on, yeah, I was struggling and God showed me a verse, but I can't remember exactly where that verse was. Well, guess what? If you've journaled it, you can reflect back on that. When I was struggling, here's a verse that played into my life. Here's a verse that meant so much to me during that time. And now I can go back, I can read it, I can memorize it. And I can see on what day and what time and what I was struggling with, the very verse that God used to pull me out of that situation. So there's a character in the Bible that we can all relate to. His name is Job. If you want to see a picture of what a pity party really looks like, you look to his story and you read what he went through. If you think you're going through a struggling time, I guarantee you it pales in comparison to what Job went through. His account is recorded in Scripture, but there's something in chapter 19 that leads me to believe that he regrets not writing down some of the details that he went through. If you want to turn there with me to the book of Job, we're going to read chapter 19, verses 21 through 27. And here's what's recorded about Job's life in this time that he went through. Verse 21 of chapter 19, he says, "Have pity on me. Have pity on me, O you my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does, and are not satisfied with my flesh?" And here's where I think the time of regret comes in, that he didn't write down more about what was going on. He said, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever." But here's the upbeat part of it. Here's a time when Job knew that God was working something in his life. Verse 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." I think there were some things that Job was going through that he wished he would have written down and would have recorded to have as evidence of God's faithfulness and how he knew that his Redeemer truly did live. Point number three, journaling brings greater confidence in God's involvement in our lives by revisiting past victories. Now look, when you go to those struggles and when you learn from them, when you look in your journal and try to figure out how you got over those, don't dwell on those times. Don't just sit there and say, "Oh, woe is me. I can't get out of this. I've been through this struggle before. Here I am again." But take some time and go over the victories as well. Look, let me tell you something. Those victories will speak so much confidence in your life that you'll be amazed. There's an app that I use whenever I run and walk. It gives me updates on how my progress is going. Every 5 minutes, it'll tell me you've run this many miles. your pace is this much, this many minutes per mile. And at the end, whenever I go to save it, I can put a little smiley face if I've done well. I can put a little frowning face if I didn't think I did too well. But it also records something else. It records my best times and my fastest times. And whenever I hit one of those, guess what? The little screen lights up with confetti fluttering down all over the place. You did great. This was your best time. This was your fastest time by far. And that just encourages me to go again and again and again. I can do better. I can't overcome this obstacle that's in my way. I can't beat that time that was so bad a few days ago. In your journal, when you record victories, it encourages you to keep on going. It was at this day, May of 2024, that I had a spiritual breakthrough. I had an answer to prayer that I didn't ever think would come. God gave me victory over a habit that I was struggling with. And then when you read that, it makes you say, I want to do that again. I want to experience that more. I want to find another challenge that I can walk through with the Lord. Revisiting those victories in your life builds your confidence and helps you to keep going each and every step of the way. So one person that did do a lot of journaling was the Apostle Paul. He had his fair shares of setbacks. But in his letter to the church at Corinth, he points out to the victory that we have in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The prophet Jeremiah had this to say in Jeremiah chapter 30. It was a time in the history of Israel. They had experienced a bondage to the enemy. They were in slavery. But Jeremiah in chapter 30, he even confesses that he writes down a book, the victory that God was going to give them during this time. He says, "The word of the Lord, the word that came to Jerusalem from the Lord, saying, 'Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I give to their fathers, and they shall possess it.'" Doesn't that sound like a victory to you? And that victory was recorded. Jeremiah said, "The Lord told me to write it down so that generations from now will see this victory and that I delivered them and I gave them this victory during this time of their life." When you start writing down every single answer to prayer and spiritual discipline you're making progress in, it builds greater confidence when you can look back over the last 6 months, the last year, the last 2 years, at how God gave you the strength and courage to continue going when you thought you would never make it. The victories in life are not times to boast or brag in ourselves, but to brag about God and what He has done. You know, those times when I ask you to underline or highlight something in your Bible, that's actually a type of journaling. Some people write down dates. They write down names. They write down sermons. They write down topics. They write down preachers. They write down answers to prayer in the pages of the Bibles. When you think about journaling, don't just limit yourself to writing the exact same thing in a notebook every day. But when that victory occurs, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever you have to write with, whenever that victory occurs, you might not have your journaling notebook with you at that time, but write it down somewhere. And write it down as soon as possible. It may happen in a place where your journal is not available. It's not convenient to write it down at the time, but whatever's available, make sure you capture that moment of victory by recording it somewhere. Some of the greatest treasures that I have are Bibles from my grandparents, people who have gone on before me. I have looked at through those pages. different chapters, different verses. I see names. I see prayer. I see my name in a lot of places where they prayed for me. Man, that is just such a big treasure to my life, and it speaks into my life as well. Something that they had written years ago, not necessarily with the intent and purpose of encouraging me, but what God was revealing to them, what God was doing for them, the victories that God gave them, speak into my life whenever I look over them as well. So I would encourage you to do that. The Bible that you're using right now, maybe start using it as a journal to hand off to maybe to one of your children or grandchildren at some point in time as well. Point number four, the greatest benefit of journaling for a disciple of Jesus is that it points to progress. Let's go back to this quiet time now. Are you still having trouble developing a quiet time? Maybe journaling would be a good way to keep you encouraged in that area and also to see how your faith is growing during that time. So what do you record in a journal? I'm glad you asked that question. Here's a few ideas that I'm going to give you. Write down some key scriptures that God is revealing to you. In that quiet time, whatever you're doing in your devotion, whatever you're reading in God's Word, if something jumps out at you, if God is speaking into your life, write that down in your journal. Don't just write down the scriptural reference. I'm talking write down the whole verse that inspires you. Write down scriptures that you want to commit to memory. Maybe you've heard me speak of a verse somewhere. Maybe you want to memorize the plan of salvation, the Roman roads. Write those scriptures down that you want to commit to memory as well. People that you're praying for, write them down by name. Write down encounters that you have with that person. Any activity, there's something else you can write down. Any activity during the day that God used to reveal a new truth to you. Look, I'm always looking for illustrations. I'm always looking for events that happen. You hear a lot of stories from my home. You still hear a lot of stories from my marriage. You hear a lot of stories from my friendship. But I'm constantly looking for some kind of illustration that God will use as a spiritual lesson for my life. Sometimes I use them in sermons. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes they're just personal. But not only should you write down things as you begin your day, but at the end of the day, if God is showing you something in particular, go back in that journal and write it down. I pray for this in the morning, and during the day, this is how he answered that prayer. And I got it right here, journaled down. I got it logged down that I can go back and look at. Here's something else you can write down in your journal. Any gospel-centered conversation that you had during the day. I had the opportunity to hand so-and-so a tract at the grocery store. Somebody came up to me out of the clear blue and just started asking me why I was so happy all the time. That ever happened to you? It happens to me a lot. I don't know how many times I've had just some random stranger come up and just start, man, where did that come from? I don't know. But anytime God gives you an appointed interaction with someone like that, write that down in your journal and see how he's using you in those areas. So I have a journal here that I began years ago. I am guilty of not keeping up with it like I should. I have maybe just the month and the day down on here. I don't have the years in some of them. But I do have in my journal a very important time in my life. It was the year 2020 when your pastor search committee began calling me and talking to me about what was going on. And the year or two after I got here in Morgan City, and I got to see some really neat things about what was going on, what I was praying about, some of the people that I met. And it's just incredible to go back and look at here's one right here, best day ever. It's stuff like that that you can go back and look over and just see the steps that God is taking you through in your life. Some of them are going to bring back some bad memories, but most of the time you're going to just look at it and smile and say, God is so good. He's way better to me than I deserve. Here's one in the note that I have right here. God delivered. Man, it's just real important to point out those times when God has delivered you from something. Now, my journaling has taken a little bit different form these days. I've kind of moved away from a daily journal. I now have something that I consider to be like almost three journals. Here's our study of the book of Galatians that I do on Sunday night. all my sermon notes as I prepared for it. Here's the one that we did on the Beatitudes, and now we're doing on the spiritual disciplines, my Sunday morning sermons. I've been journaling down everything that God has shown me through that. Here's one for the book of Deuteronomy that we're doing on Wednesday night. This is my life. This is what I do. This is what God reveals to me, and I'm actually journaling it down as I go, and I'm writing little notes. Let me just tell you, you only get the tip of the iceberg on Sunday morning. Everything that God shows me, I don't reveal all of that to you. Some of it's pretty personal. Some of it's very valuable lessons. But I write down the day, the note, the title, the scripture passage, and I got a lot more scriptures that I record in that than what I share with you. But whatever you do, find some way to write down a journal of what God is doing in your life. And so I asked some of our kids to make an investment. I'm not going to get them to come down here. Some of them have already told me. I'm just going to use that as a demonstration. I asked them whatever they're going to invest in. I gave them a certain amount of money. I told them they couldn't spend it on themselves, but invest it in some way in God's kingdom. And then I asked them to write it down. And I don't know if, did you write it down? You didn't write it down? All right. I know one of them's got a pretty good idea of what they're going to use it for. So I'm going to ask them to write it down and bring that to me when you can and let me know what your idea on using that is. But writing things down is so, so important. Are you making progress in your life? Are you investing in other people's lives? And do you have something to show for the steps that God is taking you through during your life? Are you making progress? And if you're making progress, where can you see it? How do you gauge it? How do you tell? I think journaling is one of the best ways that you can determine that progress in your life, the areas you're struggling in, and what God is showing you. So here's one more reason that we should keep a journal as well. God keeps a journal. Did you know that God keeps a journal? You have an enemy that keeps a journal as well. Oh, Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. All of your sins he wants to write down and he wants to remind you of. But God says that when we confess our sins to him, he blots out our sins. It's an old record-keeping term. If someone had a debt that they have yet to pay, when that debt was paid in full, it was blotted out, it was erased from the book. That's what God said. God says, when I forgive you of your sins. And when I forgive you of your sins, I blot them out to where they won't be remembered anymore. There's another book that God keeps. It's called the Book of Life. When a person steps out in faith, when they confess Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, when they are redeemed, whenever they are saved, their name is written in this book of life. In the book of the Revelation, it is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. He said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." This book of life is mentioned as early as the book of Exodus. The psalmist mentioned the book of life many different times. Daniel even mentioned the book of life. Listen to what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. He said, "That time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." The book of Revelation mentions the Lamb's Book of Life three times. And in it is listed the names of all those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen to what Revelation 21, verse 27 has to say. "And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it." He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. "But there shall be by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's journal is your name written in it. When you stand before God on that day and he opens up that book, will he see your name in it? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know for sure today where you'll spend eternity at? Every head bowed and every eye closed. As we enter into a time of invitation, the invitation is for everyone. If there's any type of commitment that you need to make to the Lord, any doubt in your life, any struggle in your life, I encourage you to bring them down here to this altar and lay them down at the feet of Jesus. If you're struggling with some temptation, there's no better time to start dealing with it than right now and right here. If there's any type of commitment that you need to make, maybe the Lord is calling you some type of Christian service. Maybe you know there's an area that he wants you to be involved in. Maybe there's an area in your life that you have yet to yield to him. Why not start now? But above everything else, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you don't know for sure where you'll spend eternity at. The greatest decision that you will ever make in your life is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. That there are none righteous and no, not one. And that sin separates us from a holy God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Spiritual separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has made a way for us to have forgiveness of our sins. And he wants nothing more than to have that relationship restored, to have fellowship with you. While Jesus was on this earth, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, you may be also. But the only ones that will enter into the kingdom of heaven are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you don't know for sure where you'll spend eternity, if you've never made that decision to commit your life and become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, in just a moment when the music begins, and you want to know more about that, I'll be right here, ready to pray for you, ready to pray with you, ready to walk you through that decision. And today you can walk out of this building with the full confidence of knowing that you're a child of God, your sins have been forgiven, and that when you leave this earth, you'll spend eternity in heaven. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We just thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, there's no greater joy than knowing that I'm a child of yours, that my sins have been forgiven, that you've changed me completely and you've made me one of your own. You've adopted me into your family. And now, Lord God, I know that I have a place in heaven that is secured through the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, for your perfect life that you willingly laid down in my place. And now we thank you for your love letter, the Bible, Lord God, for the scriptures that you've given to us and the life that comes through them. Your word says that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of God. So I pray, Lord God, that as each and every person has heard your word, that they would respond to it, that they would become doers of the word and not just hearers only. We love you, Lord. We commit this time of invitation to you, and we just ask that you would do great and mighty things. You would stir hearts and you would change lives. We just ask it in your name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.